This sound file contains the spoken version of the Wikipedia article on George P. Schultz. The material was recorded on December 2nd, 2017. George P. Schultz from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. George Pratt Schultz is an American economist, statesman, and businessman. He served in various positions under three different Republican presidents. Along with Elliot Richardson, he is one of two individuals to serve in four different cabinet positions. Born in New York City, he graduated from Princeton University before serving in the United States Marine Corps during World War II. After the war, Schultz earned a PhD in industrial economics from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He taught at MIT from 1948 to 1957, taking a leave of absence to take a position on President Dwight D. Eisenhower's Council of Economic Advisors. After serving as Dean of the University of Chicago Graduate School of Business, he accepted President Richard Nixon's appointment to the position of United States Secretary of Labor. In that position, he imposed the Philadelphia Plan on construction contractors that refused to accept black members, marking the first use of racial quotas by the federal government. In 1970, he became the first director of the Office of Management and Budget, and he served in that position until his appointment as United States Secretary of the Treasury in 1972. Schultz supported the Nixon shock, which sought to revive the ailing economy, in part by abolishing the gold standard. He also presided over the end of the Bretton Woods system. Schultz left the Nixon administration in 1974 to become an executive with Bechtel. After becoming president and director of that company, he accepted President Ronald Reagan's offer to serve as the United States Secretary of State. He held that office from 1982 to 1989. Schultz pushed for Reagan to establish relations with Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, which led to a thaw between the United States and the Soviet Union. He opposed the U.S. aid to the Sandinistas, which led to the Iran-Contra affair. Schultz retired from public office in 1989, but remained active in the business and political world. He served as an informal advisor to George W. Bush and helped formulate the Bush Doctrine of Preemptive War. He served on the Global Commission on Drug Policy, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's Economic Recovery Council, and on the boards of Bechtel and the Charles Schwab Corporation. He is a member of the Hoover Institution, the Institute for International Economics, the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, and other groups. Since the death of William Thaddeus Coleman Jr., Schultz is the oldest living former U.S. cabinet member. Section 1. Early Life and Education. Schultz was born in New York City, the only child of Margaret Lennox and Burl Earl Schultz, and grew up in Englewood, New Jersey. His great-grandfather was an immigrant from Germany who arrived in the United States in the middle of the 19th century. Contrary to common assumption, Schultz is not a member of the English-American Pratt family associated with John D. Rockefeller and the Standard Oil Trust. In 1938, Schultz graduated from the elite private preparatory boarding school high school, Loomis Chafee High School, in Windsor, Connecticut. He earned a bachelor's degree cum laude at Princeton University, New Jersey, in economics with a minor in public and international affairs. His senior thesis evaluated the Tennessee Valley Authority's effect on local agriculture, for which he conducted on-site research, and he graduated with honors in 1942. From 1942 to 1945, Schultz was on active duty in the U.S. Marine Corps. He was an artillery officer, attaining the rank of captain. He was detached to the U.S. Army 81st Infantry Division during the Battle of Angar. In 1949, Schultz earned a PhD in industrial economics from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Section 2. University Professor. From 1948 to 1957, Schultz taught in the MIT Department of Economics and the MIT Sloan School of Management with a leave of absence in 1955 to serve on President Dwight Eisenhower's Council of Economic Advisors as a senior staff economist. In 1957, Schultz joined the University of Chicago Graduate School of Business as a professor of industrial relations. From 1962 to 1969, he was a professor of economics at MIT and the University of Chicago, serving as dean of the University of Chicago Graduate School of Business. While at Chicago, he was influenced by Nobel laureates Milton Friedman and George Stigler, who reinforced Schultz's view of the importance of a free market economy. Section 3. Nixon Administration. Secretary of Labor. Schultz was President Richard Nixon's Secretary of Labor from 1969 to 1970. He soon faced the crisis of the Longshoremen's Union strike. The Lyndon B. Johnson administration had delayed it with a Taft-Hartley injunction that expired, and the press pressed him to describe his approach. He applied the theory he had developed in academia. He let the parties work it out, which they did quickly. He imposed the Philadelphia Plan, requiring Pennsylvania construction unions, which refused to accept black members, to admit a certain number of blacks by an enforced deadline. This marked the first use of racial quotas in the federal government. Schultz was Nixon's unofficial ambassador to the American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations. Office of Management and Budget. Schultz became the first director of the Office of Management and Budget, the renamed and reorganized Bureau of the Budget, on July 1, 1970. Overall, he was the 19th director to lead the agency. Secretary of the Treasury. He was United States Secretary of the Treasury from June 1972 to May 1974. During his tenure, Schultz was concerned with two major issues: the continuing domestic administration of Nixon's, quote, new economic policy, end quote, begun under Secretary John Connally, and a renewed dollar crisis that broke out in February 1973. Domestically, Schultz enacted the next phase of the new economic policy, lifting price controls begun in 1971. This phase was a failure, resulting in high inflation, and price freezes were reestablished 5 months later. Meanwhile, Schultz's attention was increasingly diverted from the domestic economy to the international arena. He participated in an international monetary conference in Paris in 1973, which grew out of the 1971 decision to abolish the gold standard, a decision that Schultz and Paul Volcker had supported. The conference formally abolished the Bretton Woods system, thereby causing all currencies to float. During this period, Schultz co-founded the, quote, Library Group, unquote, which became the G7. Schultz resigned shortly before Nixon to return to private life. Section 4. Business Executive. In 1974, he left government service to become executive vice president of Bechtel Group, a large engineering and services company. He was later its president and a director. Under Schultz's leadership, Bechtel received contracts for many large construction projects, including from Saudi Arabia. In the year before he left Bechtel, the company reported a 50% increase in revenue. Section 5. Reagan Administration. Schultz is one of only two individuals to serve in four United States cabinet positions within the United States government, the other being Elliot Richardson. Secretary of State. On July 16, 1982, he was appointed by President Ronald Reagan to serve as the 60th U.S. Secretary of State, replacing Alexander Haig, who had resigned. Schultz would serve for 6.5 years, the longest tenure since Dean Rusk. The possibility of a conflict of interest in his position as Secretary of State due to being in the upper management of the Bechtel Group was raised by several senators during the confirmation hearings. Schultz briefly lost his temper in response to some intense questions on this subject, but was nevertheless unanimously confirmed by the Senate. Schultz relied primarily on the Foreign Service to formulate and implement Reagan's foreign policy. By the summer of 1985, Schultz had personally selected most of the senior officials in the department, emphasizing professional over political credentials in the process. The Foreign Service responded in kind by giving Schultz its, quote, complete support, end quote, making him the most popular secretary since Dean Acheson, and along with Acheson and George Marshall, one of the most admired secretaries in the 20th century. Schultz's success came from not only the respect he earned from the bureaucracy, but the strong relationship he forged with Reagan, who trusted him completely. Relations with China. Schultz inherited negotiations with China over Taiwan from his predecessor. Under the terms of the Taiwan Relations Act, the United States was obligated to assist in Taiwan's defense, which included the sale of arms. The administration debate on Taiwan, especially over the sale of military aircraft, resulted in a crisis in relations with China, which was alleviated only in August 1982, when after months of arduous negotiations, the United States and China issued a joint communique on Taiwan, in which the United States agreed to limit arms sales and China agreed to seek a, quote, peaceful solution, end quote. Relations with Europe and the Soviet Union. By the summer of 1982, relations were strained not only between Washington and Moscow, but also between Washington and key capitals in Western Europe. In relation to the imposition of martial law in Poland the previous December, the Reagan administration had imposed sanctions on a pipeline between West Germany and the Soviet Union. European leaders vigorously protested sanctions that damaged their interests, but not U.S. interests, in grain sales to the Soviet Union. Schultz resolved this, quote, poisonous problem, end quote, in December 1982, when the United States agreed to abandon sanctions against the pipeline and the Europeans agreed to adopt stricter controls on strategic trade with the Soviets. A more controversial issue was the NATO minister's 1979, quote, dual track, end quote, decision. If the Soviets refuse to remove their SS-20 medium-range ballistic missiles within 4 years, then the Allies would deploy a countervailing force of cruise and Pershing II missiles in Western Europe. When negotiations on these intermediate nuclear forces stalled, 1983 became a year of the protest. Schultz and other Western leaders worked hard to maintain Allied unity amidst popular anti-nuclear demonstrations in Europe and United States. In spite of Western protests and Soviet propaganda, the Allies began deployment of the missiles as scheduled in November 1983. U.S.-Soviet tensions were raised by the announcement in March 1983 of the Strategic Defense Initiative and exacerbated by the Soviet shootdown of Korean Airlines Flight 007 near Monoron Island on September 1st. Tensions reached a height with the Able Archer 83 exercises in November 1983, during which the Soviets feared a preemptive American attack. Following the missile deployment and the exercises, both Schultz and Reagan resolved to seek further dialogue with the Soviets. When President Mikhail Gorbachev of Russia came to power in 1985, Schultz advocated that Reagan pursue a personal dialogue with him. Reagan gradually changed his perception of Gorbachev's strategic intentions in 1987 when the two leaders signed the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. The treaty, which eliminated an entire class of missiles in Europe, was a milestone in the history of the Cold War. Although Gorbachev took the initiative, Reagan was well prepared by the State Department to adopt a policy of negotiations. Two more events in 1988 persuaded Schultz that Soviet intentions were changing. First, the Soviet Union's initial withdrawal from Afghanistan indicated that the Brezhnev Doctrine was dead. Quote, if the Soviets left Afghanistan, the Brezhnev Doctrine would be breached and the principle of never letting go would be violated, end quote, Schultz reasoned. The second event, according to Karen Yarhi-Milo of Princeton University, happened during the 19th Communist Party Conference, quote, at which Gorbachev proposed major domestic reforms, such as the establishment of competitive elections with secret ballots, term limits for elected officials, separation of powers with an independent judiciary, and provisions for freedom of speech, assembly, conscience, and the press, end quote. The proposals indicated that Gorbachev was making revolutionary and irreversible changes. Middle East diplomacy. In response to the escalating violence of the Lebanese Civil War, Reagan sent a Marine contingent to protect the Palestinian refugee camps and support the Lebanese government. The October 1983 bombings of the Marine barracks in Beirut killed 241 U.S. servicemen, after which the deployment came to an ignominious end. Schultz subsequently negotiated an agreement between Israel and Lebanon and convinced Israel to begin a partial withdrawal of its troops in January 1985, despite Lebanon's contravention of the settlement. During the First Intifada, Schultz, quote, proposed an international convention in April 1988 on an interim autonomy agreement for the West Bank and Gaza Strip to be implemented as of October for a 3-year period, end quote. By December 1988, following 6 months of shuttle diplomacy, Schultz had established a diplomatic dialogue with the Palestine Liberation Organization, which was picked up by the next administration. Latin America. Schultz was well known for outspoken opposition to the, quote, arms for hostages, end quote, scandal that would eventually become the Iran-Contra situation. In a 1983 testimony before the U.S. Congress, he said that the Sandinista government in Nicaragua was, quote, a cancer in our own landmass, unquote, that must, quote, be cut out, unquote. He was also opposed to any negotiation with the government of Daniel Ortega, quote, negotiations are a euphemism for capitulation if the shadow of power is not cast across the bargaining table, unquote. Section 6, Later Life. George Schultz left office on January 20, 1989. After leaving public office, Schultz became the first prominent Republican to call for the legalization of recreational drugs. He went on to add his signature to an advertisement published in the New York Times on June 8, 1998, entitled, quote, we believe the global war on drugs is now causing more harm than drug abuse itself, unquote. In 2011, he was part of the Global Commission on Drug Policy, which called for a public health and harm reduction approach towards drug use, alongside other luminaries such as Kofi Annan, Paul Volcker, and George Papandreou. Schultz was an early advocate for the presidential candidacy of George W. Bush, whose father George H.W. Bush had served as Reagan's vice president. In April 1998, Schultz hosted a meeting at which George W. Bush discussed his views with policy experts, including Michael Boskin, John Taylor, and Condoleezza Rice, who were evaluating possible Republican candidates to run for president in 2000. At the end of the meeting, the group felt they could support a Bush candidacy, and Schultz encouraged him to enter the race. He then served as an advisor for Bush's presidential campaign during the 2000 election, and senior members of the, quote, Vulcans, unquote, a group of policy mentors for Bush, which also included Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, and Rice. One of his most senior advisors and confidants was former Ambassador Charles Hill. Schultz has been called the father of the, quote, Bush Doctrine, unquote, because of his advocacy for preventive war. He generally defended the Bush administration's foreign policy. He also occasionally advised Bush and his administration during his presidency, such as in a January 2006 meeting at the White House of former Secretaries of Defense and State to discuss United States foreign policy with Bush administration officials. In 2005, Schultz spoke out against the Cuban embargo, calling the policy towards Cuba, quote, insane, unquote. He argued that free trade would help bring down Fidel Castro's regime and that the embargo would only lead to continued repression. In 2003, Schultz served as co-chair, along with Warren Buffett, of California's Economic Recovery Council, an advisory group to the campaign of California gubernatorial candidate Arnold Schwarzenegger. On January 15, 2008, Schultz co-authored an opinion paper in the Wall Street Journal that called on governments to embrace the vision of a world free of nuclear weapons. The four have created the Nuclear Security Project to advance this agenda. Nunn reinforced that agenda during a speech at the Harvard Kennedy School on October 21, 2008, saying, quote, I'm much more concerned about a terrorist without a return address that cannot be deterred than I am about a deliberate war between nuclear powers. You can't deter a group who is willing to commit suicide. We are in a different era. You have to understand the world has changed, unquote. In 2010, the four were featured in the documentary film Nuclear Tipping Point, which discussed their agenda. On January 11, 2011, Schultz wrote a letter to President Barack Obama urging him to pardon Jonathan Pollard. He stated, quote, I am impressed that the people who are best informed about the classified material Pollard passed to Israel, former CIA Director James Woolsey, and former Chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee Dennis DeConcini favor his release, unquote. Schultz favors a revenue-neutral carbon tax as the most economically efficient means of addressing global warming. In April 2013, he wrote, alongside economist Gary Becker, an opinion article in the Wall Street Journal which concluded that, quote, a revenue-neutral carbon tax would benefit all Americans by eliminating the need for costly energy subsidies while promoting a level playing field for energy producers, end quote. He repeated this call in a September 2014 talk at MIT. In March 2015, Schultz wrote in the Washington Post that he recommended, quote, leveling the playing field for competing sources of energy so that costs imposed on the community are borne by the sources of energy that create them, most particularly carbon dioxide, end quote, and doing so through a carbon tax which is, quote, revenue neutral, returning all net funds generated to the taxpayers so that no fiscal drag results and the revenue would not be available for politicians to spend on pet projects, end quote. In April 2016, he was one of eight former Treasury secretaries who called on the United Kingdom to remain a member of the European Union ahead of the Brexit referendum in June. Schultz is a leader of the Climate Leadership Council, along with Henry Paulson and James Baker. Memberships held. Schultz is the chairman of J.P. Morgan Chase's International Advisory Council and an honorary director of the Institute for International Economics. He is a member of the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, the Washington Institute for Near East Policy Board of Advisors, the New Atlantic Initiative, the prestigious Mandalay Camp at the Bohemian Grove, the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq, and the Committee on the Present Danger. He serves as an advisory board member for the Partnership for a Secure America and Citizens Climate Lobby. He is honorary chairman of the Israel Democracy Institute. Schultz formerly served on the board of directors for the Bechtel Corporation, Charles Schwab Corporation, and was a member of the board of directors at Gilead Sciences from January 1996 to December 2005. He is currently a co-chairman of the North American Forum and serves on the board for Accretive Health. He was a member of the board of directors of Theranos, a Silicon Valley biotech company, from 2011 to 2015. After media reports exposed controversial practices at the startup in 2015, following the whistleblowing efforts of Schultz's own grandson, Tyler, he moved to Theranos' board of counselors, where he continues to serve as of November 2016. Section 7, Family. While serving with the Marines in Hawaii, he met military nurse Lieutenant Helena Maria O'Brien. They married on February 16, 1946, and had five children: Margaret Ann Tillsworth, Kathleen Pratt Schultz Jorgensen, Peter Milton, Barbara Lennox Schultz White, and Alexander George. Helena died in 1995 of pancreatic cancer. In 1997, Schultz married Charlotte Malliard Swig, a prominent San Francisco philanthropist and sociolite. His grandson, Tyler Schultz, was a whistleblower who exposed falsified lab tests at Theranos while working there, and while his grandfather, George Schultz, was a board member at the company. Section 8. Honors and Prizes. 1970, Fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. 1986, U.S. Senator John Hines Award for Public Service. 1986, the George Washington Medal from the Freedoms Foundation. 1989, Order of the Rising Sun with Paulownia Flowers, Grand Cordon, Japan. 1989, Presidential Medal of Freedom. 1992, United States Military Academy, Sylvanus Thayer Award. 1992, Seoul Peace Prize, Korea. 1996, Correct Prize. 2000, Woodrow Wilson Award for Public Service. 2001, Eisenhower Medal for Leadership. 2002, Ralph Bunche Award. 2002, Reagan Distinguished American Award. 2004, Distinguished Fellow, American Economic Association. 2004, James Madison Award for Distinguished Public Service from the American Whig Cleosophic Society. 2005, Lifetime Achievement Award from League 21. 2006, American Spirit Award from the National World War II Museum. 2007, Emma Lazarus Statue of Liberty Award. 2008, Rumford Prize. 2007, Truman Medal for Economic Policy. 2010, California Hall of Fame. 2011, Honorary Officer of the Order of Australia. 2012, Henry A. Kissinger Prize of the American Academy in Berlin. 2014, Honorary Reagan Fellow Award of Eureka College. 2016, Presidential Medal of Honor, San Francisco State University. American Philosophical Society, James H. Doolittle Award, Elliot Richardson Prize, John Witherspoon Medal. Honorary Degrees. Honorary degrees have been conferred from the Universities of Columbia, Notre Dame, Loyola, Pennsylvania, Rochester, Princeton, Carnegie Mellon, City University of New York, Yeshiva, Northwestern, Technion, Tel Aviv, Wiseman Institute of Science, Baruch College of New York, Williams College, Hebrew University of Jerusalem, Tbilisi State University in the Republic of Georgia, and Keio University in Tokyo. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 Unported License, available at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-sa/3.0.